I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of state. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. Yes, it is time for Out There. It's Friday, August 2nd, 2024. I'm your host, Ruthie, live in the studio. As unprepared as ever, today's show might be an interview with my live guest, Mary Moss. Mary, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you out there? Do you hear me? Are you coming? Or it might be something else. And that something else will be the little rant of the day. It's not a rant at all, really. It's not even really close to a rant. It's just my thoughts. Some thoughts of the day. Here we go. Let's see if this plays. Sometimes the stupidest things are enough to put a smile on your face. Like this guy that just donated cans at Cans for Cancer. His shirt said, it was a black shirt with white drawing and stick figures. And there was a sign on the shirt that said, bad. That's all it said, bad, B-A-D. And then the bottom of the shirt, there was like a stick figure looking at the sign. And the bottom of the shirt said, now that's not a good sign. So I'm here Friday afternoon thinking about my radio show that's coming up in a couple hours. One of the exciting parts of my week this past week, a couple weeks actually, has been my developing friendship with a new friend. Actually not a new friend, actually an old friend. Well, a few years. The friendship has been slowly evolving over the last few years. You know, we see each other around town. Every time we see each other, we talk a little more. And eventually it came to the point earlier this summer where some hints were dropped that maybe we would hang out intentionally. Like one person says, I don't have as many friends as I used to. And another person says, well, do you want to hang out? Go for a bike ride? Maybe just a bike ride. And the other person says, sure, you got my number. Well, I got his number back in the winter when I told a story about him. And when I told him I was going to tell a story about him, and I left him a note on his back door saying, call me or else I'm telling this story about you. Okay, that's all I'm going to say for now, maybe, but you know, the excitement when you're getting to know someone little by little, but still in the early stages where like each layer that you peel off reveals so much. Whereas when you know someone really well, it's just like a little scratching the surface here or there when you get to know them a little, just a little bit more. Those giant leaps of unraveling what feels like unraveling a mystery are exciting. And the thing is that makes it extra special is that I've wanted to be friends with this person for a few years now, and I've been trying to play my cards right. So it feels extra rewarding to finally be getting something that I've been wanting. I'm only laughing because it's a small, silly thing, and it's kind of like a game we play. But playing the game is really fun. And I like how he plays the game, too. It's not a friendship where you, like, schedule things and all that. We just know we'll see each other around town. We kind of know each other's patterns and know where to position ourselves to be in a likely spot. One of my best friends, I'll call him a BFF, best friend forever best friend. One of the unspoken rules between us is we don't text. We've never texted in like 15 years of friendship. Well, maybe once for some logistical thing.
we communicate either in person or on the phone, talking on the phone, or handwritten letters, or like, you know, psychically through the universe. And I like it like that, because you text someone, then you're waiting for a response, and then when you don't get the response in the time that you're hoping, that just leads to some feelings often.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Yep, that was me talking. And how about some Taylor Swift?
School bell rings, walk me home. Sidewalk chalk covered in snow. Lost my gloves, you give me one. Wanna hang out, yeah, sounds like fun. Video games, you pass me a note. Sleeping in tents, it's nice to have a friend. It's nice to have a friend. Light pink sky up on the roof, sun sinks down, no curfew. 20 questions would tell the truth. You've been stressed out lately, yeah, me too. Something gave you the nerve to touch my hand. It's nice to have a friend. It's nice to have a friend.
Welcome back to Out There. And guess what? My live guest, Mary Moss, showed up. Thanks, Mary Moss. Now, if I only can turn your mic on, mic 4. All right.
Okay. I'm there.
You sound beautiful. How is your trip here? Where did you come from?
I just came from Child's Park. And I was practicing a meditation dance practice there with friends called Contemplative Dance Practice, which I was last doing 5 years ago in this building with Nancy Stark Smith and friends. And at the end of the practice, by the road, talking with Patrick Crawley, who helped to guide us in the practice. And I was about to tell him where my bike came from. And I said, Ruthie's. And Ruthie biked up, of course. So I followed her here. Almost.
Unfortunately, I was not being very meditative in that moment. I was, gotta get to my radio show on time. I hope Moss is coming with, oh, there's Moss.
And I was thinking, am I going to this? I'm going to have to find her. I don't know where. Oh, there's Ruthie.
So where did you come from before that?
I actually came for the third time since 1987 in a plane on this continent, across this continent.
Like day before yesterday or two, 3 days ago or something. Who knows with time, how time flies.
Yeah.
And the soul is left behind.
The soul is left behind. The last time I took a plane was 6 years ago. And it was when when I got the call from my brother that my dad was in the hospital and with a hospice doctor. So I took a plane. And that's the type of condition where normally I would take a plane. So I really felt like I was kind of breaking a soul contract in taking a plane coming here. And very quickly, within a few days of coming together with Ruthie and with friends here who are deeply in a practice of listening to each other and the earth, I just feel that I'm coming back down very quickly to earth and joining you all here. So
thanks. I wonder if we can try to switch to mic 3 because I think mic 4 is extra sensitive and every time.
Okay, so now I'm on another mic.
Every time that someone touches the table, it makes a thumping sound.
Oh,
you could try it again on mic 3. Thump the table.
Right here. Okay.
I think it's fine. Thanks. Sorry to be so distracting. Where were we? So you're staying at our house, the Flow Op, for a little bit.
Yes. It's hard for me to think of it as Flow Op and not Pedal People.
It's been 5 years since you last stayed in the yard.
5 years since I was last integrating with your ground.
And where were you? What were you living in 5 years ago?
Well, it just so happened that I was living in this three-tiered rickshaw built by our mutual friend, Mika Rambeau, who came from France. And Ruthie helped to construct the rickshaw with his children.
So you were here 5 years ago, then you went to the West Coast. So you've been on the West Coast the last 5 years?
I have.
What is your life been like there, and like where have you been laying your head at night?
It has been somewhat torturous because it's very, very difficult to live in rural Oregon or by bicycle. And so pretty close to the beginning, I was hit on my bicycle. I wasn't badly injured, but after I nearly lived off of my bicycle for most of my life, it was the first time I've ever been hit. And, it was really hard to get back on a bicycle after that. And the infrastructure is, in the town of Ashland, Oregon, there are some bike paths, but it feels like there's very little consciousness of bikers and bike lanes. And I was actually charged when I got hit, because I was on the sidewalk, but I was actually crossing over an intersection, an exit to a shopping center, and the person was coming so slowly, and it just seemed like they were coming to a stop, and then they just kept rolling. And what to say about that? It is just such an incredible, I'm just so grateful to be here and to be able to bike on these bike paths and the rain. I mean, it is just catastrophic fire there. It's just such a gift to be here with all of you. Wow. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can segue into another song talking about rain.
My daddy spent his life looking up at the sky. He cussed, kicked the dust, saying, son, it's way too dry. The clouds up in the city, the weatherman complained. But where I come from, rain is a good thing. Rain makes corn, corn makes whiskey, whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky. Back roads are bogging up, my buddies pile up in my truck. We hunt our honeys down, we take them into town, start washing all our worries down the drain. Rain is a good thing. Like a kiss out back in the barn, wringing out our soaking clothes, riding out a thunderstorm. When the tin roof gets to talking, that's the best love we make. Yeah, where I come from, rain is a good thing. Rain makes corn, corn makes whiskey, whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky. Back roads are bogging up, my buddy.
dance and does a little dance. Crease on the rise, roll up your pants. Country girls, they want to cuddle. Kids out playing in a big mud puddle. Rain makes corn, corn makes whiskey, whiskey makes my baby. Back roads are bogging up, my buddies pile up in my truck. We hunt our honeys down, we take them into town. Start washing all our worries down the drain. Rain is a good thing. Rain is a good thing. Rain is a good thing. Rain is a good thing.
So, welcome back to Out There. My live guest here in the studio, Mary Moss. Do you have a preference how to be addressed?
Mary Moss.
You just came from the West Coast where you were sleeping amongst the trees and living amongst the trees.
Yes. In these the last couple of months, I've been living in a very special place, which is called Forest Park, Earth Teach Forest Park.
Forest, not forced. Right.
Forest. Forest. No, forest. Oh, the singing trees. And it's a nature reserve of 1,500 acres, which was protected and brought to be this beautiful place of coming together in the forest and a reserve, a nature reserve, from the wonderful Pete Cotton, who actually... carried as the steward of these lands from when his father had the lands in the 1940s as logging lands. And in the 1960s, he brought it to be this nature park. He's actually in the process of bringing it into conservation of the tribes in the area. And all of these years since the 1960s, he's just been inviting people to come up, to camp, to hike, to walk, to be there. And just such an honor to be up there with him and learning about this forest and that process of keeping it there for all of us.
You've done a lot of forest-loving work over the years. Yeah,
that's how I started off in Oregon in the mid-1990s. And quite an awakening coming out to the Northwest from Virginia. I'm originally from Virginia. I did not understand what an old growth forest was. I knew a few old trees here or there. But one of the first things that was revealed to me in that work and coming to the forest, and I was on public lands. I was a tree sitter, thus the name Moss. And the sign, we were tree sitting in ancient trees, and you knew they had reached their pinnacle state of ancient wisdom because, well, maybe like ourselves, they had a silvery top, because they were often the sign of an ancient tree in an ancient forest, are their lightning struck. And these huge ancient Douglas fir trees and western red cedar trees, hemlock trees, they are the actual reservoirs of water in these forests. They hold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water, and then they slowly release them through the summer. So where does lightning strike? It strikes the tallest thing around. So it strikes these ancient trees that are so full of water that they can embrace lightning. They capture it. And now what has happened, it does seem that just more and more of these ancient forests have come to the way of corporate logging, and we cut down so many of those ancient trees, and that's capturing the lightning. This is a bit of my perspective also, kind of from the ground up, being out there.
I'm living there again, and it's quite a different situation than it was 25 years ago when I was out there.
In terms of fewer trees and different
in
climate?
In terms of the fires and the lightning striking. And I mean, I think time immemorial, fire is a very natural regenerative process. But we were also tending the forests. We had controlled burns. I mean, you know, we were living in maybe kind of dispersed ways. We were living in ways that cleared out naturally from the understory of the forests by heating ourselves with fire, by cooking with fire, people were burning to keep down the brush and also the poison oak. And so now we're missing these guardian trees. The lightning strikes. There's all from the logging practices, which is just leaving so much slash and cutting out the big ancient trees and leaving behind just a mess. And so the lightning strikes the tallest creature, and it doesn't contain all those many gallons of water. And we have hundreds and hundreds of fires all over the West Coast. Huh. I actually left because I'm a camper, and I don't actually have an indoor place to live where I can set up air filtration for myself. Because there's just, sometimes it's nearly all summer and into the autumn where you have to filter the air. You can't breathe. It's dangerous. There's so much smoke in the air. The whole West Coast is, yeah.
So do you think you'll go back?
I am going to be going back. Yes. I feel involved in this conversation of how we can be returned to being better stewards of the forest again.
Yeah. This conversation is reminding me that this weekend, starting today, is the conference at Smith College called We the Land, hosted by Northeast Farmers of Color Land Trust. It started at noon today. Actually, I think it started at 10 o'clock today with a tour of the Grow Food Community Gardens. But it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Smith College Campus Center. It says, We the Land. It. When I say it, I mean the internet website says, We the Land, a gathering for Indigenous, Black, Latinx, Asian, Tswana, and POC earthworkers, land stewards, and farmers. This gathering will take place August 2nd through 4th at Smith College, 2024. Mm-hmm. We the Land is an invitation to our community to join us for a weekend of knowledge exchange, grassroots organizing, celebration, and ceremony, and marks the Northeast Farmers of Color Land Trust's first in-person gathering since 2019, and centers the primary intention of our community-led network, and here's the goals, to break the isolation of being farmers of color in the Northeast by building relationships of mutual respect and joy, the foundation of community care and movement work, to share skills, resources, and time with one another in building collaborative projects and initiatives, to coordinate our policy demands and catalyze reparations for Black, Indigenous, POC farmers and land stewards, to collectively envision, enact, and share ways to be in reciprocity with land, in the process healing generational trauma and redefining the meaning of farmer and our care for the land and each other. That's this weekend, August 2nd through 4th at Smith College. And if you just look up We the Land or Somos la Tierra and find out more information. You're listening to Out There Today, talking about gardening and garden season stuff. Here's a request, musical request. Thanks, Casey. I'm going to try that again. Get my the timing and the buttons right. The sliders.
just a bowl of butterbean. Just pass the cornbread if you please. Well, I don't want no collard greens. All I want is a bowl of butter beans. Well, just a little piece of country ham. Just pass the butter and the jam. Just pass the biscuits if you please. And some more of them good old butter beans. Now bread and gravy is all right. And a turnip sandwich, a delight. And my children always scream for some more good old butter beans. You see that woman over there? One with both hands in the air. She's not pregnant as she seems. Oh, she's just full of good old butter beans. Now when
Little David Wilkins. That song's as old as me. 1974. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm your host, Ruthie, here with my live guest in the studio in Florence, Mary Moss.
Hello.
We were going to talk about, we were talking about transportation during the song a little bit. So what was the last leg of your transportation? To get the last few legs.
To get to Ruthie.
Yeah.
To get to the bicycle that Ruthie is lending me. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was on the bus and it was free.
The PVTA.
PVTA.
Free all summer.
All summer.
It might even continue. How is it for you transportation-wise in Western Mass or like Northampton, Florence area as compared to where you were in Oregon?
It's such a relief. My cheeks hurt from smiling so much. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's, so I talk about the positive or out there in Oregon. It's just so wonderful to be able to go between all these wonderful small towns and not have to live in a huge metropolis to have a bus.
Yeah.
The only other places that, I mean, I lived many years in France, and it is as this there between the small towns and the cities. And then in cities on the West Coast, but I'm trying to live in a more rural area. And there's a couple of buses. I actually flew here from Portland, and I was catching a bus in Portland to my friend's house, and I just got on the first bus that came because I'm so used in Ashland, Oregon, there's only like one bus. And so I got on the wrong bus. Because, oh, wait a minute, there's more than a bus. So, yes, right, I'm in the city. And if I want to live anywhere out of town, I would have to bike on pretty dangerous roads. There is a bike path between Ashland and Medford, but any other direction, and you're just out of luck. Mm-hmm. There's not even a good shoulder to bike on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting for me because I also come from a place where there's not buses. Like the nearest city bus is maybe, I want to say it's 85 miles away in Knoxville, Tennessee. And that's like, you know, that's like if there was no buses from here to Boston. And so just to recognize, to see with different eyes, the transportation options and the ease of transportation that exists here in Western Massachusetts.
And all the work that went into establishing.
And continues to.
Establishing that.
Oh, gosh. Last week or the week before on my show, I ranted a little bit about this magazine that Northampton City Lifestyle or something it's called. And the last edition. Like, okay, so this magazine is a monthly magazine that's delivered once every month by the Postal Service and put in people's mailboxes, and the back cover, it's kind of glossy and very like full of advertising for fancy schmancy things and very glossy. And it's just very, elite sort of feeling. And actually inside the cover, it says it gets delivered to some of Northampton's most affluent neighborhoods. And the back cover is always an advertising for Ford of Northampton. But the last edition, the feature article and the front cover was all for Carlosi, what is it? Part of the Tommy Group car. It was all cars. It was the feature, like the front cover was like the owner of, or the manager owner of that car group dealership in the car with their kid or kids. And it was all about just cars, and one picture after another of like, you know, the beautiful woman selling the car or managing the car business. And I ranted last week, but I have to rant again this week because this week I've been, you know, recycling people's paper recycling and I've seen it come through in people's paper recycling. And I'm like, do I have to look at this effing magazine again?
So a week later, it's being thrown away.
Yeah.
Or
and it's like,
whatever.
How many? And it was in my dentist's office. I went to the dentist last week and it was like a magazine to read in the dentist's office. And that was, I was right in front of the secretary or else I would have pocketed it and destroyed it.
This was one of the first things that really caught my attention in the years that I was living in France, in small town France, kind of similar the sizes of the towns as to this area. And small cars, you could fit two or three cars into one of ours. And there were usually like at least three or four heads in there.
Yeah,
Along, you know, And then I didn't have a car, and I was able to use the public transportation to get from beautiful villages way up there in the mountains to into cities. And both in the villages, just like the cities, there were theaters and so much art, and you didn't have to go into the big city, which is something that I feel about this region as well.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, though, that I had to get to other places in France. I started to use a covoiturage, a rideshare system, and it's so developed there also, you know, the way that people are finding each other and coordinating their rides through incredible internet infrastructure, which is available to us here.
Well, I wasn't quite done my rant, I realized.
Sorry about that.
I also remembered, so this car dealership owner, so they've also, they're putting cars, illegally parking cars
on this lot by Foster Farr lot, this piece of land that happens to be paved over with trees and grass growing through it. And they're parking cars all around the perimeter, including like right on top of the one lone row of tree roots right next to the rail trail. And so I'm like, I want to get a group of people together to just like move those cars at least like 10 feet further out on the tree roots. I mean, I want to find Carla Costanzi and ask her to tell people to move them. So shortly after last week, right after I rode past all those cars parked up against the fence on the rail trail between Foster Farr and McDonald's, I ran into a friend of mine who's on the planning board. He was cutting brush back from the rail trail and multi-flora rows and stuff. And I was like, hey, what do you think? How can I get a hold of Carla Costanzi? I asked him, and he said, well, she's been pretty elusive lately. And yeah, we need to save the trees. There was also a bunch of trees cut down on that, between there and Foster Farr, kind of on that lot, and like catalpas and black locusts. And, and what was I going to say? Oh, I lost that thought. Oh, yes. And there is also a little, one of those little yellow signs on the black sticks that say, that said, herbicide application 725-24. Now, I don't know if that was something that was done in that spot or if some random person just like stuck that little sign thing there, but it made me think, oh, you know, they could just poison all these trees if they want, and the trees will just slowly die and no one will ever really know why exactly. Anyway, that's my gripe, one of my many.
Yeah, so maybe we could figure out a way to organize having a presence there.
Yeah, there's many places where we need to have a presence, especially like the North View Ave, North Street Woods by Pages. Those are, a bunch of those are also slated for destruction in the near future. We need some tree sitters. We need some encampments.
I mean, you know, and tree sitting, encampments, just vigils, being present, and and you know, just helping to tell the story of these trees, letting them, shedding the light to their existence.
Yeah.
Together.
I'm going to make I'm not going to make another announcement. I'm going to play some Buffy St. Marie.
Oh, I love Buffy St. Marie.
Boardwalk. These old men, they make their dirty deals. They go in the back room and
No, Kesha Gesh, Buffy St. Marie. You're listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5, followed by Democracy Now at 5 o'clock. Today in the studio, my live guest is my friend Mary Moss, who's just come here from the West Coast, and we're talking about life and stuff. Mary, you're also a dancer. What does that mean to you?
Well, I actually first ever came to Northampton in 2004, and in 20 years ago. And in 2005, I moved here as a resident at Earth Dance, which was founded, has it been 40 years? A center for somatics and contact improvisation. And there's, it just feels to be such a full integration of all my greatest dreams here with you, Ruthie, and this dance community. For me, the dance has always begun with the getting there. You know, we think, oh, the dance is now that we walk into this dance studio. And it just really begins with that first step. And I just know where I am when I walk or I bike to where I'm going. It's just such a feeling of displacement when I suddenly have been in a car driving 50 miles an hour and then it stops and then I run into a door somewhere and then I start dancing with people. Mm-hmm. So I think that is in, I feel like that's what I really hope to integrate. Are these loves of just staying connected to the earth and each other and the improvisation. What I really love about biking is that there's so many options. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is true, I decide to go into the sidewalk. I admit it. And there's a greater score. You know, I know that I'm trying to get to a certain place and I get to feel my way there to a certain degree. So I'm really involved in my body and my intuition and the dance. Am I going to take this street or that street? And then lo and behold, there's a friend. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful feather. There's a leaf coming through the air, you know, and I just, I love biking. I get to be... I mean, do you remember when you were a child and finally, like, you got a bike and then you took your training wheels off if you had those? And what freedom. It's always just meant freedom.
Yeah. And after your knee injury, now biking is helping your knee get stronger, you were saying?
It is, yes. I did badly hurt my meniscus and my ACL. Yeah. If anybody has any wisdom about healing those without the surgeries, please come find me.
You know, it's funny. For me, last summer, last fall, I started riding an e-bike a little at a time, partly because I was just kind of overwhelmed with a lot of stuff, like with Dwayne being in the hospital a bunch and back and forth between here and there, and our housemate's transition, like there was a lot of moving in and out of our house and the flow up forming, the housing cooperative forming and house repair projects, trying to take like loads, hundreds of pounds of shingles to the dump. Then this dog sitting in Leeds, I just found myself in a situation where I had felt like I needed to be many different places in short spans of time. And so I started using the e-bike more and more. And also the pedal people was kind of short, so I was doing pedal people routes with it, and my knee was like hurting a little bit more and more and more, and so I used the e-bike a little bit more because of that. And then now, in the last few weeks, I've been sort of transitioning back to my normal bike, my non-e-bike, and I feel like last week one day, after a bike ride on a non-e-bike, I was like, my knee doesn't hurt anymore. And I actually thought last year when I started riding the e-bike a little bit, I thought, I think this is hurting my knee a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is about it, but I feel mm-hmm. like on days that I ride the e-bike, my knee is more likely to be sore the next day. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy that the type of knee issues or whatever that I have, I'm able to ride my normal bike. It makes me so much happier. Mm-hmm. I feel so much more alive and strong in my body and all that. But mm-hmm. bike's mm-hmm. knees healing.
I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing all of this wisdom in these different places with the friends and in the different communities that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
Ruthie, you are a bike mechanic. Yeah. And every other Saturday?
Yep. Oh, yes. That will be tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. And there is a... You offer... The bike lab.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just play the PSA. How about that?
Great.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004.
From 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
And yes, that is tomorrow, August 3rd. There will be Bike Lab. And the thoughts, they slipped my mind. Were you going to say something?
Well, I just kind of... What about a wonderful exchange of helping folks with their bikes and then people who really understand how to develop how to support our knees, the biker's knees, the biker's need for help supporting our knees after injury, after just the process of aging, after the... You know, the ways of, I don't know, sitting in chairs at computers and walking on hard surfaces and in bad shoes. Like, how can we exchange these wisdoms of biking, bike repair, and our physical health?
Well, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie, here with my friend, Mary Moss, who just came into town this week, re-came into town this week. Thanks for coming to the studio today.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. It's 10 till 5, according to the studio clock. But I have another song request I want to play. Me from worry and woe.
there's a hole in this mountain. It's dark and it's deep. And God only knows all the secrets it keeps. There's a chill in the air that only miners can feel. Well, there's ghosts in the tunnels, the company seal.
That was Sierra Farrell covering Steve Earle's The Mountain. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/outthereArchive. And I'm a little bit behind. You can also hear up to two-week archives of Out There on valleyfreeradio.org. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock, followed by Civil Politics at 6. Kicking It Worldwide at 7, Subculture Fridays at 8, and Table of Contents Fridays from 10 to noon. 10 to noon? 10 to midnight with Mark Beauvais. We'll go out with a little Houdini.
Because a friend's somebody you judge for yourself. Some are okay and they treat you real cool, and some mistake your kindness for being a fool.
We like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money. Some you grew up with around the way, and you're still real close to this very day.
Homeboys through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. And then there's some we wish we never knew at all. And this list goes on again and again. But these are the people that we call friends. When we first went out together, we barely knew each other. We had no intentions on becoming lovers. But in no time at all, you became my girl. Me and you, one-on-one against the world. Talking on the telephone for hours at a time, or else I was at your house or you was at mine. And then came the arguments and all kinds of problems. Besides making love, we had nothing in common. It could have lasted longer because it started out strong, but I guess we went about the whole thing wrong. Cause out of nowhere it just came to an end, because we became lovers before we were friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, ones we can depend on. Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
You say you and your girlfriend weren't so tight. You took her out with you and your guy one night.
You even had a set of keys to your home, and you shared mostly everything you own. But as she shook your hand, she stole your man, and it was done so sweet, it had to be a plan. Couldn't trust her with cheese, let alone your keys. With friends like that, you don't need enemies. You wonder how long it was all going on, and you're still not sure if your glad he's gone. You say, well, if she took him, he was never mine. But deep inside, you know that's just another lie. And now you're kind of cold towards people you meet, cause of something that was done to you by some creep. But nevertheless, I'll say it again, that these are the people that we call friends.